Have you ever had a difficult experience that just broke you into pieces and then realized that it was actually breaking you open to who you really are? Our guest today is Melissa Oatman, the author of Beautifully Broken, and she's going to share some insights to us about how to survive and thrive after a divorce or breakup. Join us.
The Soul Nectar Show. You're invited, delighted to discover who you are. Anything is possible if you believe. So join us on this beautiful journey.
Soul Nectar Show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Soul Nectar Show, that show where we talk about all things essence, where we gather around the campfire and we share our stories of connection to that which is bigger than us, to the big mystery, the divine plan, the synchronistic connections, the moments, the mystical experiences, and all that good stuff that helps us to discover at a deeper level who we really are in truth as we enter into a new understanding about our journey of life. At this time on the planet, and boy, we're experiencing so many things in 2020. What a powerful year! I'm your host, Carrie Hummingbird, and I love to make sense of the world using these kinds of tools and modalities and expressions and higher understandings, so that I can navigate life a little bit better with some more resiliency. And I love helping people to do that for themselves, to open to that, the one that knows within you, the one that knows everything within you and can help guide you to a beneficial outcome, no matter what you're experiencing right now. And so I love also interviewing people on my show who have some beautiful messages to share, and we can have some awesome dialogue that hopefully opens your own heart and addresses something you're going through right now in a way that opens you and gives you some insight. And so today's guest is Melissa Oatman. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. So Melissa is from Collinsville, Illinois. In addition to teaching German, Melissa is a healer, a channeler, a spiritual teacher, and an intuitive. She hosts Awaken Your Inner Awesomeness, a weekly podcast dedicated to improving lives and deepening spirituality. She is the author of Beautifully Broken, The Spiritual Woman's Guide to Thriving After a Divorce or a Breakup. And boy, that topic is so important right now as we're in the, you know, the aftermath of so much stay in place and so much stuff going on in the collective and disruption and all of that. So tell us a little bit about your journey of awakening and how you found these tools that you now use for your life navigation.
Well, whenever I started going through a spiritual awakening, which was about, I actually believe I kind of started going through it when my twins were a year old. I was in a very toxic and abusive marriage, and it was really tough because I was afraid to leave, but I knew that I had to because I didn't want my daughter to think that it was okay for someone to treat her the way that father treated me, and I didn't want my son to think it was okay to treat women that way. So for them, I found the strength and the courage to leave my marriage. And I was not working at the time. I had stayed home with my children, and I had a degree in business and an emphasis on international business, but I hated the business world so much. It just was not my thing at all. And so I had to figure out what I was going to do with my life. So I decided to go into teaching because I love German too, and I love to travel. And I had substitute taught when I was pregnant because I had to lighten my workload. And so I loved it. I loved interacting with the kids. And I thought, this is where I need to be because I love making connections with people. So I went back to school full time and had my twins, you know, so it was a full time job being a parent and also going back to school. And then about 2 years ago, I went through a breakup, and I kept thinking to myself, oh my gosh, there has to be more to life than this. Why am I always picking the same kinds of relationships? And that relationship wasn't abusive, but I was still being with people who I was giving, and they were taking, and there was not an equal balance in the relationship. And so what I discovered was that I was a people pleaser from way back, and I had all of these limiting beliefs and conditions that I had placed on myself that I'd learned from childhood. You know, I had learned early on that it was my responsibility to make others happy. So for my whole life, that's how I lived, was pleasing other people and making sure that everyone else was happy. And guess who wasn't happy? I was the only one not really happy because I was too busy trying to please everyone else. So my spiritual awakening started then. I started listening to a podcast. I had an hour's drive to work and I needed something to take my mind off of things. So my brother said, you should listen to podcasts. So I did. And I think I looked up spirituality because I was just needing something. I needed a sign from God, you know, where am I supposed to go now? And this podcast popped up called Stepping Into the Light. And I started listening to it. And the person who hosted the podcast was a healer. And the more I listened to it, she said, anybody can be a healer. You have to awaken that within you. And as if that's your purpose. And the more I listened to it, the more I just really felt a calling. And I had been told years ago that I was a healer when I went to a psychic fair with my sister. And the person that I saw said, you know, you're a healer. You're supposed to be doing this. And I thought that person was insane because I didn't think I had any abilities whatsoever. But that year, I started awakening more to the abilities. And I would get information about people that I knew was not coming from me. So I knew that there was something more there. So I started working on my spiritual gifts, deepening my spiritual awakening. And I became a Reiki practitioner. I took Reiki 1 and 2. And I also took a mediumship course. And I took a past life regression course. And I just started really diving in. And the more I started diving in, the more I felt like I was at home. And that this was what I was supposed to be doing. It was like the missing piece of my life. Not that I didn't feel happy before, but there felt like there was something missing. And it was that missing piece that I found. And I learned this whole journey of self-love and how I have to be the one to love myself first and put myself first before I can find someone who's worthy of loving me as well. So it really all started on this journey. And then I really felt a nudge to write down my memoirs. I started writing about my experience in a toxic marriage, and I really just thought it was going to be just a cathartic journaling exercise for myself. And the more I started writing, it just like flew out of me, and I thought, okay, this might actually be a book. And before I knew it, I had 10 chapters, and then I had 12, and I ended up with like 14 chapters, and I thought, this is a book. So the next step for me was finding someone who would publish the book. And I always kept in my mind that I could self-publish if I wanted to, but I sent it to all kinds of publishers. And one small publisher said to me, I don't normally publish adult books. I usually publish children's books, but I'm a Reiki practitioner and I was just drawn to your book. And she read it and said, I knew I had to publish it. So it just came out in January. I do, you know, personal coaching with people to help them live their absolute best lives. I do meditations and tappings with people, and I host my weekly podcast. So this has been my journey, and I have to say it's been an exciting ride so far, and I'm loving every single minute of it.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, there's so much to learn on this plane of existence right now. We've got so many centuries of the same kinds of patterns being run over and over and over and over again. And now we've got this flipping the script happening, and we're in the middle of the script flip. And in the middle of that flip, we're kind of turning upside down world into right side up world.
Yes.
Then it feels awkward and strange as everything's dismantling and falling apart. And it's like there's this, some people might be having this feeling like you might have experienced at the end of your relationship, like, well, this is all I know. And even though I know it's not good for me, I want to keep it because I don't know what's next. Like, I don't know the unknown on the other side of this. And of course, I have taken that journey. So I know that on the other side of getting, you know, sort of ending and saying no and putting a boundary to those things that are abusive, to go to the other space, to flip the script and through the discomfort is actually better. But how do you navigate that? How do you navigate that space for yourself, and how do you help people? Because that, it can be a big source of fear for people.
It can. And I always tell people, when you're in the midst of the transformation process, it can feel ugly and it can be painful, but you feel so much better on the other side of that. You know, if you liken it to being like a butterfly, those early stages of the butterfly aren't that beautiful, but what comes out on the other side is, and it's sort of like peeling away the layers of an onion. When you start doing that spiritual work, because I tell my clients this all the time, because they will have a session with me and then they will go a week or two and then they want another session and they'll say, I was feeling so good and I thought I had healed so much stuff. And then all of a sudden this stuff came up. What's going on? You know, and I will tell them, it's like an onion. You peeled away one layer, but you didn't peel the entire onion. So there were still layers left. And if you really truly want to get to those layers, you have to do the work. And a lot of people don't want to do the work because it's messy, it's ugly, it's not always pretty. But the way that you get through it is you use all of the tools that we've been given. So when people start to feel the panic or the anxiety, do a tapping, you know, do a quick meditation. There are a lot of tools that we have that we can use at our disposal to help us get through those tough times. But I can tell you without a doubt that going through the healing process made my life just, it's, I think you said it when we were talking one time before, that it's like magic. And it really truly is. It's like things just lined up for me. Opportunities lined up, people lined up. And not only that, but there were people in my life that I would have never expected an apology from. And one of them being my toxic ex would have never apologized. That was not his personality. He just didn't do that. And I started doing the work on myself. And I actually went through and forgave everyone in my life that I had felt had wronged me and I knew I wouldn't get an apology from, but I had to forgive them to let go of the heavy baggage that I was carrying around from whatever had happened. He actually called me to apologize for how things had gone with us. And I really truly believe it's because when we do the work on ourselves, the people that we're most connected to can feel that energetically. And it causes people to, you know, people either fall away because you're no longer in the same vibration. And if that happens, it was meant to happen. Or they rise up to meet where you are because they don't want to fall away. They still want you in their life. They still want to be an important part of your life. So I feel like that's the dynamic that happens. When you work on yourself, those who are meant to be in your life rise up to meet where you are. And those who aren't kind of fall away, but you realize they weren't really for my highest good anyway. And we meet other people who are part of our soul tribe who sort of take those places. At least that's what I found.
Yeah, I've definitely experienced that as well. Much to my disappointment, you know, but I also I've been starting to study gene keys, which is like another way to understand yourself. Because this is the part of the journey. It's like, for me, on the other side of that door, that decision to step into the void, into the unknown, and to heal myself, and was like to stop going to weekly psychotherapy sessions, trying to take responsibility for the entire situation and blame myself and shame myself and label myself so that nobody else had to face themselves, which is what I was doing, you know? And then to go into this other part where I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. Okay, so tell me more about me. Like, why is it that I do this? Or why do, so in my gene keys chart, I have disappointment as one of my shadows. So I get disappointed. So, and I was like, well, I was thinking about that the other day. Like, well, why do I get disappointed? And it's because, well, it's in my shadow, it's in my chart, but it's also a resource for me. Like our shadows are, could be motivators, right? They can be catalysts for growth. And, but they can also shut down other people. So like disappointment in my chart is like, I get disappointed when people won't rise to the occasion. I get disappointed when they can't see what I see. I get disappointed when I can forgive, but they can't. It's like, I just keep like, when are you going to wake up? And so there is this bit of like the light worker energy of once you heal yourself, you have this like, you have this different vantage point that they don't have yet because you've actually gone through the tunnel. You've gone through all the cocoon. You've gone through the mess. You come out the other side and that puts you at a different vantage point. You're not better. You just have, you climbed the mountain. Anybody can climb the mountain. Sure. Does it make you better? You just climbed the mountain. That's it. And when you're on the top of the mountain, you can see more than other people can see who are still down in the trees. So how do we bring that to be? Because I think what you're saying is you just kind of did your work and let go of it. You're like, yeah. Okay, that's my work. I let go of it. I'm never going to get an apology. It's done. And I keep holding out like, I know it could be better than this. I know these people are capable of it. I know they can get there. And yet, no. Not yet.
Yeah. And so for me, and I tell this to my clients too, if there's someone in your life that you're hoping to get an apology from and that you want to work on things with, I call on my spiritual team to help with that too. You know, one of the archangels that I work with is Archangel Azrael, and he can transmute energy, like painful energy, into healing energy. And so I will hold those people in a space of prayer and just envision them being in the light too. So I don't just always work on myself. I did for that particular situation. But if there's somebody that I know is having difficulty rising to that level and isn't seeing things from the perspective that you'd like to, I always hold that person in a space of positive energy and prayer and just ask, you know, their guides and their spiritual team to go be with them and to intervene if it's for their highest good, to help them on their healing journey. And I found that sometimes it really is, we all have free will. So our souls have the ability to either accept that healing and say, yes, you know, I see this now and I want to start on myself, or they may not. We can't control other people. We can only control ourselves, but we can certainly do positive things to sort of help the process along.
Yeah, I've explored some things like, because these toxic, when they're toxic dynamics, they are so, in my experience, entangled that it's like this process of sorting. It's like the Hogwarts hat, you know, like, okay, this is yours. Okay, that part's mine. You know, this is this other person's. Like, it's so tangled up that it's hard to see, like, who's doing what and whose is this and what piece is mine and what piece is this other person I tried to solve. And it's so messy. And I've even brought things up to, like, this, like, soul, I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's like this place where you can bring it into the soul courtroom and say, here's my grievance, you know, like, yeah. This needs sorting out, you know, because I'm on a time schedule, I've got work to do, and this is now becoming an impediment to me getting my soul curriculum done. So I did that. And the interesting thing is it did clear up all the energy lines, like it's all, but now they fell away. They're just like, gone, you know? So, well, I didn't want that exactly. I just, you know, like, I needed to get on with this part of my job. I got work to do.
Right.
But it's so, yeah. How do you sort that out? How do you sort that out? And how do you help people sort that out?
That's a great question. And one of the things that I tell people to do, and I love journaling because I think it's an awesome way to really get your feelings out and to look at things. I tell people the important thing that a lot of people miss is we have to look at the situation as though we were just a third party observer of the situation. So you have to take your emotions out of it. And that's what a lot of people can't do. They just can't look at the situation without getting pissed off or feeling hurt or all of the feelings that happened and were triggered by the event. And that's what makes it hard to really be able to distinguish, okay, what actually happened? What is going on here? Because we tend to make things a lot worse than they are when our emotions get involved. And I don't say that to downplay any trauma anyone has been through, because I know, trust me, I've been through trauma and my children have been through trauma. So we understand trauma. But when you are able to take yourself out of the situation and just say, okay, I'm going to look at what happened and I'm going to write down what happened as though I were writing a police report. Okay, well, my mom said this to me. And when she did this, this is how I responded. And then it triggered this. I was feeling this. Because then what you can look at is, why did it trigger that? Why did it trigger you? What was the trigger? And usually it's, it made me feel like I wasn't good enough. And there you really get to the trigger, which had nothing to do with what your mom said. It had everything to do with the internal lack that you felt, that I didn't feel like I was good enough. And so that was the trigger. I love, love, love this website called Radical Forgiveness, and they have free worksheets, and you can go and download the worksheets. I make my clients do this all the time with me. And we sit down and we go through the worksheet, because what it does is it actually makes you look at the situation like you are a third party observer. Then we list all of the emotions that made us feel. And from there, we realize I made a soul contract with this person to come here to learn this specific thing. And when you look at it like that and you get so detailed, you can actually begin to see what it really was all about. It wasn't that my mom's just a mean jerk. You know, it was that when my mom used this language, this is what I felt. I felt like she was judging me. I felt like she thinks that I don't do enough. I'm not enough. I was never good enough. And it just triggers this whole inner child wounding that we all have. I mean, I don't know many people who escape childhood without having some kind of wounding, because as I tell people, children don't come with manuals. It would be great. We get a 1,000-page instruction manual on our brand new car, but they send children home from the hospital with a look of like, God help them and good luck. You know, that's about all we get. So we do what our parents did or what we know. So that's why those cycles continue until someone finally says, you know what? No, I'm going to be the one who breaks the cycle.
Yeah, I'm going to be the one that breaks the cycle. I'm going to find out. It's like, and we have so many tools now for this. Like we've got, you know, human design type charts. We've got gene keys. We've got all these modalities that help us get in there and like understand like the psychology that this person's chosen for this lifetime and the psychology you chose for this lifetime and like how they interrelate and, you know, where are the matching wounds? Like, where are the places where, oh, that's a match. Oh, okay, we got to work this out together because this is not working. You know, and for me, I went through the radical forgiveness part because I don't think you can get through it without going through that process. Like that is a, you have to go through that process to get through the other side, because one of the things that process does is a little sneak is that you realize it's a mirror and it's all you. Like you actually are the one that you're judging. It's just fascinating. It's a sneaky little process. But the cool thing is that I was also able to bring myself into gratitude. So I'm not sure if that's part of that process or I took a step further, but I was like, listen, all the things I think my mom did to me, which are many, then I can go through that list and go, okay, that thing actually serves me now. Because like, for example, my mom is super unpredictable. She's just, you know, so my kids say I am. I've really tried to be steady, but you know, sometimes you can't. If you're an emotional being, I'm emotionally centered. I have flows. I have ups. I have downs. I have, you know, my mom too. So like big flows, big adjustments. And so that can be scary to a little kid, you know, and that can make a little kid like go, like for me, I was like, ooh, is what kind of mood she in, you know? So I sorted through that. I was like, oh, well, I'm grateful for that, because actually that taught me how to be a feeler, that tested my empathy skills. Like I was able to feel her, you know, on the way home from work, I could feel her. I could feel her miles away. Like I could feel her like a half an hour away and just go, okay, is she in a good mood today? Or is she in a bad mood today? Which one is it? And then decide if I was going to hide or is going to be available. Yeah. So, you know, this is training ground without even realizing you're being trained for what you're going to do in your life, which is, you know, it's what I do today, right? This is what I do. So,
and I've said that to other people before. I think that so many people who are healers and spiritual teachers have been through so much in their lives. And I think it's because you have to, in order to be able to empathize with people and to show them, look, this is how you heal. Because I think, you know, who are you going to take advice from? Somebody who had the perfect idyllic life? No, because you won't trust that person. They don't know you. They don't know your story. But if you really want to work with someone, you're going to pick the person that you know has been down the same path you have and knows that you recovered and you made it on the other side, because they look at you like, I am you and I want to get to where you are now, and you know how to do it because you did it. So I think that that's why so many people who signed up and agreed to come here to work, to be a light worker, to be a healer, we signed up to go through a lot when we were younger so that we had the experience when we were older to really fully step into our power as light workers.
I agree. And it's not over. You know, yeah. This is what I've realized is that that's a lifelong commitment to face your mirrors into, and it's a refinement. It's a refine. So like all the dark tunnel of despair that I got myself into using the traditional modalities, you know, the psychotherapy and all this stuff, like just from the mind that we know doesn't totally get it all because it's all subconscious and, you know, we got to work in the subconscious in order to heal. All that stuff, like, that was painful. That was like kludgy and painful and difficult and like a boulder and, you know, like trying to move this big boulder up a hill. But on the other side of that, I got so much healing and I got to this place now where I'm feeling really good, right? But that my job's not over. It's just a refinement. It's a refinement.
Absolutely.
I think the more we stay on it, then the more service we can be to other people.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. I always say to people, I'm a lifelong learner. And I always will be. I'm never going to be the best version of myself because that's always a work in progress and it continues. And like the layers of the onion, there will always be things that come up where, you know, you will say, oh, there's something else I need to work on or there's something else that I could be better at. So I agree with you there. I think it is always a process.
And the compassion of being able to really know the journey, like the steps through the journey, is so important because how else are you going to guide somebody unless you know the guideposts and you've experienced them energetically, emotionally, and you've moved through those places? There is no faking it on this path. And there's no like simple take, you know, go to school and take an exam and you're done and you just like go get a job. That's no. This is
no,
a different thing.
No, it's definitely not. And people come to me all the time and say, I feel like I'm going insane. I feel like I'm crazy. Everyone else in my life doesn't understand because they're not at the same place. And I think that that's part of it is being able to find your tribe and know who your soul family is so that you can actually have people who understand what you are going through and what it feels like at each step, because you do definitely feel sometimes like you've lost your sanity because it's just such an intense process, especially, you know, as people go through what they consider to be the dark night of the soul. It's what a lot of people refer to it as, where it's that place where you're really facing your shadows. And it's not always a happy, fun place because, as you said, when you go through that radical forgiveness, they have a way of making you realize, oh, these are my shadows. This person mirrored in me what I didn't like about myself and what I needed to heal and fix myself. And that's not a fun thing to be faced with sometimes, but it's so necessary. It really is.
It's necessary. And we have that relationship with our children by default. Even it's like a huge setup, you know, because the clarity, I realized that I just had another level of realization, understanding about children is that, like, when I had my children, they basically got woven into my web. Like, whatever my web of consciousness was, their web of consciousness got woven by my web of consciousness that I was sorting my way through. And then as I was healing and I was changing, they were being affected by that, but they'd already been inoculated by my original web of consciousness. So it's like, no matter what I'm doing, they're having now to choose to respond to it, to the healing or not, to learn or grow or not. So it's just so interesting to see that sometimes some of the frustration I have with, you know, one or more or both of my children has to do with them reflecting back to me the state of consciousness I was in when they were born that they inoculated with. You know, like they came in as that. And it's like, wait a second, I don't want that anymore. It's like, here they are. They have to choose now, like, okay, I'm not going to play that game either. Or they have to, you know, get enough of self-awareness to know, I want to get out of my mom's web and get into my authentic web. Like, who am I in truth?
Yeah, I totally can see that too. Because I know, like, before I started going through my spiritual awakening, I was a very emotional person and I would get very upset quickly when things didn't go the way that I thought that they should go. I had a very short fuse. And after I went through this awakening, I saw that in my own children. I saw that my son would get super upset and want to hit something, you know, and we got him a punching bag, but it was going through this, hey, well, you know, you need to handle things differently, but also thinking, wow, I'm a hypocrite because this is what they saw for, you know, the first 15 years of their life. And now I've changed, but I'm expecting them to when, you know, it's just a sudden thing for them. Like, what? Wait a minute.
And it's hard to see, it's hard for them to see the forest for the trees. You can only see it. Like, I can only see that now because I've climbed several mountains and I'm looking down going, oh, wow. Okay. And now I'm like trying to guide them and they're like, I don't want to know, you know, like they just want to keep doing. And it's like, but I'm up here and I want to show you how to climb. And no, they don't want to. Sometimes they want you to get out of the way. And I'm looking at it right in front of me and I can see the thing. You know, I can see it. I can see it playing out and they're just all playing out the drama. And I'm just sitting here like, well, there's the drama. Yeah. It keeps playing out because they can't see it.
Yeah, that is so true. It is true. And very much, they're very resistant to, you know, the new way because that totally goes against what they've been taught and what they've learned in the same way that I think I was very resistant for 40 years. When I was 40 was really when I had the awakening, like, oh wow, I can't keep living my life like this because I let everything bother me and I put everyone else ahead of myself and I'm not happy and I feel really trapped where I am, and that's what really made me think I need to change. I realized, you know, you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting to feel different or have a different kind of life. So I was realizing, if I want something different, I have to be different. I have to be the one to change myself. And it took that realization that if I want to see different results in my life, I've got to do the work.
And so that's the same for every person. You know, we can't do it for people. And when you love somebody, then, you know, I think sometimes the tolerance levels get so distorted, so different that light workers are like, I can't hold this anymore. Like, I can't be with that energy. And so what I've been working with myself in is expanding my capacity to hold a bigger distortion field so that I can be in relationship with people I care about as they're holding themselves through their own growth and transformation process to, you know, climb the mountain and meet me somewhere along that mountain peak. And so I think it's our capacity. I think it's compassion and witnessing and not taking it personally and being able to hold that bigger distortion so that, you know, whatever's being triggered by our family members is like something for us to also heal.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think that we have to be a little bit more patient with people because as we're going through this process, they don't understand it at all. So like you said, you're way up here and not that you're better than anyone else, because it's not about that, but it's, you're looking at it from a completely different perspective. Mm-hmm. And I don't think some people are capable of even seeing that perspective. So holding that space for them to say, when you're ready to, you know, join me where I am, or at least try to really start at the bottom of the mountain and try to work your way up, I'm here for you and I'm here to be with you. But it's tough because a lot of people, you know, I have clients who reach out to me and say, you know, my husband and I are no longer on the same level. You know, I'm way up here and he's not, and he's so very negative and it's really affecting me. And I feel, you know, it seems very toxic. And that's a tough thing because I've been there. And when you stay in a toxic relationship, what really happens is your self-esteem suffers. You start to really take on the projections of your partner. And I always tell my clients, if you don't heal that inner wounding, you're going to bleed all over people who didn't cut you. And so what those toxic people do in your life is they really do project their wounding onto you. But it's a way for you to look at, hey, I need to heal myself. But I always say, speaking your truth and standing up for yourself and saying, you know what, I'm worthy and deserving of a loving and healthy relationship, and not someone who's going to make me feel like the sludge on the bottom of their shoes and blame me for everything that's happened. And I want to feel healthy. And people will say, well, we have kids. And I will say, yes, but you're still modeling love for your kids. You're just modeling unhealthy love, so that they think that this is what love should look like, and that love should hurt, and it should be toxic, and it should be this or that. So really, you're doing yourself and your children the best favor in the world by releasing yourself from those toxic relationships and spending time loving yourself, because that's really where it all starts, is from within.
Absolutely. Beautiful, beautiful guidance. So how do people get started working with you? Do you have I know you have your book, so I'll provide a link to your book.
Yes. I have a website. It's just melissaoatman.com. It's just my name. And I offer Reiki sessions. I do coaching one-on-one, like life coaching. I do readings for people, and my readings are different because I don't see dead people, but what I do is I connect to your energy. So I help guide people in certain areas of their life, like love or career, or finding their purpose, by connecting to their higher selves and to their guides and giving them guidance. But I can also, I pull cards for people too. And I do past life regression, where we go back and we heal the behavior patterns that we may have been bringing over from multiple past lives. So I do that. All of that's available on my website. And I have my daily podcast, Awaken Your Inner Awesomeness, that is devoted to deepening your spirituality and also improving your life. So I love that. And I do card readings on Facebook. I do Facebook Lives every Monday, and I pull cards for people who join me for the live, just to give them some guidance for the week.
Awesome. Well, that's a lot of good support. So I'll put all those links in the show notes so you guys can get in touch with Melissa. And if you enjoyed this conversation, please like and share and leave a comment, because that's how the engines decide what's important and what's not, is engagement from the audience. So we appreciate your engagement. And I'm going to give kisses now. Would you like to join me in giving people kisses? We'll give some Reiki kisses out there.
Sure.
Okay, here they come, people.
All right.
Love you
that.
Guys.
Love that.
We'll see you next time on Soul Nectar Show. Bye for now.
To dive in deeper to nourishing conversation, visit soulnectar.show.
Soul Nectar Show. Awaken awaits you. Take a sip from the drip of nectar, from the source of who you are.